Right now, we're in a series talking about discovering the transformation that's possible with God, discovering transformation. And we're joining with Rick Warren and a ton of churches across America in studying these topics of transformation. And what's cool about that is that you can go online and there's all kinds of podcasts and other materials that go along with what we're talking about on Sunday mornings. If you'll remember, our scripture for this series is Romans 12:2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Or if you don't want to go with the KJV version, basically change your life by changing the way that you think. Changing the way that you think. So the first type of transformation we talked about was spiritual transformation, knowing God. You can't transform the rest of your life until you get that right, until you know God. And then we talked about physical transformation, reducing stress by trusting and obeying God in our lives. Mental transformation. Philip talked last week, gave us three important daily choices. Feed your mind with truth. Free your mind from destructive thoughts and focus your mind on the right things. And if you missed any of those and you're going, gosh, that sounds like something I need to hear, you can actually go on iTunes. We have a podcast and you can listen to any of those sermons and get caught up with the series. Well, today we're talking about emotional health, transforming our emotions. And you may think to yourself, well, what does that have to do with being renewed by the changing the way you think? Well, most of the time we think our way into emotions. You know, I mean, there's some things that are just emotions that are brought on by hormones or weather. You know, barometric pressure affects you or the way that you're feeling, you have a cold. But most of the time, most of our emotions are brought on by what we are thinking about. Like, for example, you're on your way to your mother-in-law's house. Not all of you have a perfect mother-in-law like I do. And you are thinking, you're like, gosh, I don't really want to go, you know. And so you get in the car and you're like, I don't want to go. And so you start this train of thought. You start thinking about all the things that she has ever done to you that were wrong. All the ways that she disrespected you. All of the times that she really got on your nerves. And then you make the transition, and you start thinking, she's going to do it again. You know what? When I come to her house today, she's going to make fun of the corn casserole that I brought over. She's going to talk about that job that I have again, and you start fighting with her in her mind, and you start saying all the things. You know what? This is going to be the day. I'm going to tell her. I'm going to tell her exactly how I feel, you know? And by the time you walk up to her door, you're just ringing the doorbell, just you're ready. She says hello, and you're like, that's what I thought. You have all the emotions as though that fight actually happened, and nothing has even happened yet because you thought yourself that way. But you know what? If you could change the way that you think, you can change the way that you feel. So let's talk about some truth about emotion. Mark 12, verses 29 through 30 says this, the most important commandment is this, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Our heart is representative in the Bible of our emotions. So God wants to have an emotional relationship with you. David, who God says was a man after his own heart, was an emotional guy. Read the book of Psalms. Any emotion you're dealing with, anger, sorrow, joy, despair, name it. He dealt with it and wrote about it. In fact, if you're dealing with your emotions and you're having a hard time, I'd encourage you to read Psalms. I remember one time I was very, very angry, and I thought, you know what? I am going to pray one of David's retribution prayers, you know? So I get out my Bible and I'm reading it. I'm telling you, halfway through the chapter, I closed my Bible and I said, God, I'm really not that mad. Because he had a way with words. And yet he was a man after God's own heart. And this is the truth about emotions. God has emotions. Did you know that? God has emotions. All through the Bible, we see scriptures where he gets angry, he gets jealous, he gets happy, he expresses emotions. And because we know that God has emotions, we know this. You were created to be emotional. You were created as an emotional being. You say, well, why do you say that? Well, see, in Genesis, we know that God created man in his own image. That means he said, you know what? I'm going to create man as a mirror of me. So God put emotions in you, and that part of you that is emotional is part of what makes you like God, because God has emotions. So we know that God has emotions. We know that you were created to have emotions. And finally, we know this, emotions can be misused. Emotions can be misused. I don't even have to talk about that because, you know, if you've seen a two-year-old, then you know emotions can be misused. But, you know, sometimes it can get kind of confusing and can get overwhelming when we talk about managing our emotions and organizing them and packaging them. And so, you know, emotions are a little bit like your yard. But it has to be tended, right? I mean, you have to mow the grass. Now, my dear Philip wanted to turf our yard. I wish I could tell you that that was a joke. That is not a joke at all. He wanted to turf our yard. I said, you can't turf our yard. He said, why not? And I said, because you just can't turf our yard. But emotions are like a yard. You have to tend to it. And you know what? There's certain seasons of your life where you have to tend to your yard more often than normal, you know, I hear. In the summer, you got to cut your grass like once a week, right? But then during the winter, maybe it's like once a month. Well, we go through different seasons of our life where we have to pay really close attention to our emotions and we have to govern them very closely. And then there's certain seasons of our life where it just seems like they're on autopilot. But we have to know where we are. We have to tend them. Anybody ever move somewhere new, new apartment, new house, just new space, right? And you walk in and you're like, oh man, there's nothing in here. It's so clean. It's so bright and shiny. It's so empty. And then what happens? That U-Haul pulls up and all your stuff, it came with you. You know, that little trinket from your first vacation is in there with your grandma's most expensive prized possession. It's just all together, all in boxes. And there's kind of two kinds of people. There's the people who decide they're just going to put all the stuff in the garage and they're going to live with like the chair and the table. They're like, no mess is getting in this house, you know? And then there's the people and their houses look like the hoarders on that TV show. You know, they're dumping every box that they own. You know, they're taking like your toothpick out of your mouth and putting it on their counter and saying, that's mine now, you know. And I think that kind of represents the two different emotional states. You've got the Stoics, right? And those are the people who just live with that chair and that table and they just stuff everything. Everything goes in a box, it's neatly labeled, and it's put in their garage. And when their garage gets full, they just kick it a little bit more and they put stuff up in their attic. There's stuff and stuff everywhere. But you know what? They're not living the way that God intended. Because see, you're missing some stuff if you just leave everything packed in the garage. There's some good stuff in there. It's not just bad stuff. There's some stuff you need in order to be healthy, in order to be helpful. You know what the other bad thing about stuffing everything in garage, stuffing your emotions, shoving everything down, not dealing with anything, is one of these days it gets too full and it bursts. You open that garage door thinking you're just going to shove one more box and it just dumps right on top of you. And you go, why didn't I deal with this before it got to this point? Can't be a Stoic. And then there's the emotionals. Those are our hoarders. They hold on to every emotion. They hold on to the emotions that were passed down from their grandparents and their parents. They hold on to the emotions that were given to them by their neighbors. And anything they feel, their mantra is this: I feel it, so it must be right. If it feels good, it's right. If it feels true, it's right. And their lives are dominated by their feelings. Can't live that way. That's not the way God intended it. God God intended us for us to live in a happy medium where our emotions have the place that he intended for them to have. And this is the reason you have to manage your emotions. There's three reasons you have to manage your emotions. And the first is that your emotions will lie to you. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. That means that you got a gut feeling that this was going to be a good idea, and it turned out to be a bad idea. You can't always trust your emotions, but you can always trust the Word of God. You can always trust God. Okay, so you have to manage your emotions because sometimes they lie to you. The second reason is because your emotions can be manipulated. You don't want to be manipulated, do you? I mean, nobody woke up this morning and said, you know what? I know I have goals and dreams and aspirations, but what I really want is I want somebody to manipulate me into making short-term choices that ensure that I never achieve any of those things. And yet, if we choose not to manage our emotions, that's exactly what we're doing. That's exactly what we're doing. We're giving power to other people to manage our emotions, to manipulate our emotions. You know, the entire retail industry is built on a bet that they can manage, that they can manipulate your emotions. The entire retail industry. I mean, they learn it, right? You know, they learn how to manipulate your emotions. And so often, because we don't know how to manage our emotions, we end up making bad financial decisions that put us in a bad place because we made an emotional decision. Anybody ever do that? Philip and I had just, we were about to get married, and somebody somehow got us to go to one of these things where they promise that they're going to give you like free tickets or a free vacation, you know, but you have to listen to a sales pitch. Do you know what I'm talking about? We weren't smart yet, all right? We went, and we sat on the front row, which was second mistake because we couldn't leave. And then the third mistake was we got excited. They were doing this like waterless cookware, and they had us convinced. We were like, this is the best cookware that's ever happened to the world, and we bought all of it. We bought all of it. We didn't have very much money, but we spent like our entire discretionary income for the month on this waterless cookware. It was absurd. And still to this day, I'll look at him and go, worst mistake we've ever made. He'll be like, waterless cookware. And that may seem really stupid, but it's an example to me of what happens when I don't manage my emotions. When I don't rely on my husband to help me manage my emotions. When he doesn't rely on me to help him manage his emotions. Because we were just both carried away. And, you know, we've never even used that waterless cookware. It's still sitting in a box in our garage. Because apparently we can't get rid of it. But we'll get to that later on in the sermon. Like an open city with no defenses is a man with no check on his feelings. That's Proverbs 25, 28. Another translation says this: a person without self-control is as defenseless as a city with broken down walls. Society will manipulate your emotions. Your family and your kids will manipulate your emotions if you can't manage them. They will convince you to do things that are not in their own self-interest, that are not in their own long-term interest, that they'll convince you just by manipulating. You know, kids do it, don't they? They just push that button, and they spin you out. Your old nature. Remember, your flesh does not want you to move and live in the new house. It'll spin you up and turn you right around. You ever notice how that song comes on when you're driving by that place, and then you get that feeling that makes you want to do that thing, whatever it was? That old nature, it'll play on those emotions if you don't know how to manage them. And finally, the enemy will manipulate your emotions. 1 Peter 5:8 says this: be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He'll manipulate you. He will manipulate you. You know, the other day, Philip and I were just I mean, honestly, we were going at it. We were so mad at each other. I was mad at him. He's mad at me. And I'm not the kind that goes off in a corner and cries. I'm like, let's go. Like, me and you right now, let's go. We were just fighting. I was like, what is wrong with us? I'm thinking this in my head. And this thought popped up. It's Saturday. It is Saturday. We always fight on Saturday. Well, I don't know if you know what comes after Saturday. We're teaching Carolina this. Sunday is the next day. And see, Sunday is the day that we stand up here and we're responsible for preaching God's word to you. And I could just see so clearly that the enemy was just winding me up and sending me as a time bomb right into the middle of my marriage, blowing stuff up so we could be less effective. If you don't learn how to manage your emotions, you're going to be a time bomb in your family. You're going to be a time bomb in your relationships. You're going to be a time bomb in your business. You're going to be a time bomb in your church. And you're going to wreak havoc. And instead of being effective, you're going to be deadly. The third reason that you've got to learn how to manage your emotions is because you want to please God. Do you know how I know you want to please God? You're here. You got up on a Sunday morning, you came in here. Hey, I want to give you credit for that. That's awesome because you want to please God. And Romans 8, 6 through 8 says this, to be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. Those who obey their human nature cannot please God. 1 Peter 4, 2 says, from now on, you must live the rest of your earthly lives controlled by God's will and not by human desires. When we give our heart to Christ, that includes our emotions. It's not like everything except for our emotions. That includes our emotions. That means that we choose to follow him before we follow our emotions. And if you live a life where you're not managing your emotions and your emotions are managing you, whether from the stoic side or the emotional side, you are living a life that's not God-ordered and God-ordained. Because see, God wants to send you down a path that your emotions will never allow you to go. All right. So we talked about truth about emotions. We talked about why we need to manage our emotions. Let's talk about how to manage our emotions. And there's two things that you got to do if you want to manage your emotions. The first is this, is you've got to evaluate your emotions. In our moving kind of analogy, you got to open the box. Now notice, I didn't say throw the box on somebody. Carolina Lee, did you think you were going to get out of here without a Carolina Lee story? Oh, no, you're not. My little 2.5-year-old, I had her and my 12-week-old daughter up in their playroom, and I'd put my 12-week-old on her mat, and she was all happy and ooh, so excited. And then Carolina Lee decided to get into her toy box, okay? And she starts going, you know, just like in the movies. Yeah, just like that. She has emptied her entire toy box in 20 seconds, thrown all of it. And all of a sudden, I hear this little eek, eek. She has thrown most of it on top of Julietta. I mean, Julietta's got pom-poms in her face. She's got stuffed animals everywhere. And I'm going, I'm a horrible, horrible mother. But don't use what I'm saying about evaluating your emotions as an excuse to throw up on the person next to you, to throw up on your husband or your wife or your kids. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about open things up and looking at them with the eyes that God gave you and evaluating them. And if you're going to evaluate your emotions, you have to realize that you have to be in touch with what you feel. You do. Anybody ever feel like this? They're like, I just feel yucky. I don't know. I don't know how I feel. I mean, I feel there's something, but I don't know. For guys, it comes out like this. But either way, David put it well. Psalms 55:2. My thoughts are restless and I'm confused. Sometimes that's how our emotions feel. So we have to evaluate it. What am I feeling? What am I feeling? Ask yourself that. when you're evaluating. Look at it. What am I feeling? What am I really feeling? And look beneath the surface, because sometimes people label boxes wrong. You know, when you have people help you move, like they put on there, they're like, this is dishes, and you open it up and it's tools. And you're like, how did they do that? But sometimes that's the truth with our emotions too. Everybody else calls it anger, but when you look deeper, you're really afraid. You're scared of what you're going to lose, you know? Everybody else calls it being, you know, standoffish, but you're really insecure. You know, everybody else calls it this, but you're really anxious or whatever. So you have to look, you have to evaluate. What am I really feeling? Then you have to say, why do I feel this way really? You know, sometimes I am crabby. I'm not very nice. And I have to ask myself, why am I feeling irritated? What is it that happened? Who did I run into? Who did I talk to? What circumstance? What way of thinking? What line of thought? What movie? What music? What sound? What is it that's triggering this emotion in my heart? And you know, you can even go a little step deeper, and because sometimes a song can bring up a memory that can bring up a wound that you've never let God really even heal. You need to ask yourself, why am I feeling this way, really? Maybe you have scars from your past. Maybe the actions of your spouse remind you of how a teacher or a parent made you feel. Maybe you're looking at life through the distorted lens of rejection or jealousy or despair or anger. But you have to ask somebody you trust to help you evaluate those things. And finally, this. When you're evaluating your emotions, you need to ask, is this true? Is it true? Is my feeling, is my emotion telling me a lie? Psalms 25:2 says, Lord, cross-examine me, test my motives and my affections. In other words, our emotions lie to us, so we have to ask ourselves, is this emotion lying, and how is it lying to me? How is it lying to me? And you know, sometimes you need help with that. You need a friend, or you need your partner, somebody you trust to help you challenge your emotions. Job had a friend like that. Job 15:12. His friend asks him, why has your heart carried you away? And why do your eyes flash? It's so helpful when somebody will help you decide whether your emotions are telling you the truth or not. You know, I have a trigger I'm going to share with you. I hate the word lost and ruined. I do. Now, you're looking at me like I'm crazy and you don't have words that send you off into the netherland. You know, we all have things that will send us off, right? I'll tell you why I hate the words lost and ruined is I feel like a failure. See, if it's lost, I can't find it. If it's ruined, I can't fix it. And I find my greatest satisfaction and joy in life in fixing things for people, taking care of people. And so when my husband goes, oh, we lost it, what that says to me is I don't believe in you, I don't trust you, and you're not very good at what you do. Guess what's wrong with all of that? It's a lie. Because that's not how he feels about me. He thinks I'm awesome. He put a ring on it. You know? And if I have that perspective, my feelings towards him change. The Bible tells us to think about what is true. To think about what is true. So if it's false, you need to stop thinking that way. All right, so first, you have to evaluate your emotions. But then, just as important, you have to do something with it. You know, it makes no sense to open up your box, see what's in there, close it back up, and put it in the garage. And yet, so often, that's what we do with our emotions. In fact, sometimes people will do this. They'll go, see, look, this is the negative emotional residue that my mother left me with. I keep it right here in this special place in my garage just so that I can go out and look at it anytime I want to. You know? No, you're supposed to do something with it. There's only three things to do when you're moving with your stuff, okay? There's only three. If you were wondering, there are only three, okay? I'm helping you out if you're moving anytime soon. This is practical as well as spiritual. You can keep it. Let me tell you need to keep love big in your house. You need to decorate with joy. You need to make peace your air freshener. You need to have happiness as curtains. You need to decorate with the fruits of the Spirit, those positive emotions. So often, we choose to decorate with the slime of our life, the rejection, the hurt, the bitterness, and we drape it all around us. We put it on our center place. We eat off of it. We live in it, and we wonder why we're miserable. Decide what you're going to keep. Then decide what you're going to get rid of. Philippians 2:5 says this, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So ask yourself, what would Jesus feel? There's some things that you need to get rid of in your life. And it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God that we're able to get rid of things. So we say, God, look, I've got these emotions. I've got these thought patterns that are destroying my life, that are creating these negative emotions. So, Lord, instead of having these, I'm going to get rid of these, and I want you to fill me with your Spirit on a daily basis. And instead of having my thoughts, you know, right now I can't formulate good thoughts about this person in my life. I can't formulate good thoughts about this circumstance in my life, but I'm going to use your word. And see, your word says that it'll never return void. That means that we can throw it out there and it's going to come back with something for us. And so I look at my circumstance and I say, you know what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I look at that difficult person and I say, you know what? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I'm called to love everybody. You said that it's not your will that one would perish. And I think that that person is one. I look at them and I say, you know what? Not only am I beautifully and wonderfully made, but they are too. Not only was I bought with a price, but they are too. And we look at the scriptures and we begin to speak that over our circumstances, and they take the place of those thought patterns. And suddenly we notice that where there was fear, there's faith. Where there was greed, there's grace. Where there was all of these different emotions that were negative and that were tearing down our life, there's something that adds to and builds us up. You need to get rid of some stuff today. You need to stop the stuffing and stop the hoarding and just take it out to the dump. And the final thing is this. There's some emotions that you need to give away. You may go in, Destiny, there's some stuff you need to get out of your house and trash. Nobody wants it, okay? Nobody wants some of the stuff you got. You don't need to give it to your kids. You don't need to give it to your parents. You don't need to give it to your neighbors. No, there's some stuff that needs to be thrown away. But then there's other emotions. There's other things that need to be given away. Because this is the thing, is that some of you have experienced some real situations that have created authentic emotion. You've experienced racial discrimination and injustice. You've experienced abuse. You've experienced being cheated and denied what was yours. You've experienced and seen things that have caused your heart to just grieve and hurt more than you could have ever imagine. You've seen things on the news, maybe even, that just somehow, and you had a real emotion. You're angry. You know what? You should be, sir. You're upset. Yes, ma'am. That's exactly the way that you should feel. You're discouraged. I get that. Anybody would be. This is the deal. When you have an authentic emotion, and you use it for your own selfish gain, well, that's just going to distort. That's just going to end up hurting you. It's selfish. It's selfish anger. It's sin. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. It's sin. It turns into bitterness. It turns into stuff that destroys your family. But when you give it away, when you take that authentic emotion and you use it to help others, when you give it away, when you channel it into something, well, that's the kind of anger that caused Christine Kane to stand up in an airport and scream and say, we will do something about human trafficking. That's the kind of despair that caused Martin Luther King Jr. to say, this is the line in the sand, this is enough, no more, we've had hundreds of years of this, we are done waiting. It's the kind of hopelessness that made my grandmother look at the kids in her class that had been told that they were special needs and forgotten by the public school system and say, no, I'm going to provide an alternative. I'm going to do something for the kids of this city. I don't know what happened to you. I don't know what authentic emotion you have, but I do know that the world is waiting for you to give it away. The world is waiting for you to take the emotions of abuse and channel them into helping people heal. The world is waiting for you to take the emotions of despair that come from being hopelessly addicted and channel them into helping addicts be free. You have something inside of you that the world needs. And this is the truth. We are most like God when we take those authentic emotions and we channel them and we give them away. Because see, God went through the ultimate betrayal. He created a being, breathed life into it, and then had his kids reject him. Had his kids believe lies about him. Had his kids walk away from him. Had his kids try to do anything in their power to avoid having to go through him. He had humanity reject him. And do you know that the Bible says that he regretted creating us? He regretted creating us. That's a real emotion, folks. That's authentic. And yet, he did not use the excuse of his emotions to turn his back on you. He didn't use the excuse of his emotions to say, I'm done with humanity. He didn't use the excuse of his emotions to just let the planet spin until it spins out. No. Instead, he decided to give it away. He decided to send Jesus and to say, you know what? I do feel this way, but I'm going to use this feeling to motivate me to do something about it. I'm not going to leave them in the pain that I feel. No, I'm going to pull them out. Stand with me where you are.